I'm just going to talk to you about prayers this morning. It is our prayers that will make a difference in some people's lives. It is our prayers that will make a difference in our community. It is our prayers that will make a difference in this world. It is our prayers that will stop ISIS. It is our prayers that will make a difference. Amen. You may say, but how can I? God only needs one to stand in the gap. Amen. One to agree with his will, and your prayers will make a difference. Yes. It is the most powerful and effective ministry, and all other ministries are founded on the ministry of prayer. And so I'm going to teach you now, let's just see, how do we say prayers that will hit home and will make a difference for God's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen? Amen. And it's simple. The key to having prayers that make a difference is to pray prayers that are in God's will. Amen? Amen? Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen? So simply, we have to first establish relationship with God. Amen? Let us be guided by the principles outlined in Matthew chapter 6. To start off, what is prayer? Simply, prayer is communication in our relationship to our Father. Amen? As we mature, our prayer time is not just about asking, I want. You know, we begin to sound like a sorry. I want. No. It becomes about praying for others and doing God's will. We live surrendered lives, and so we listen to God more than we speak to him. Amen? It's beautiful to get into the presence of God, to fellowship with your Father. Isn't it just absolutely wonderful to be, to abide in his presence and to have that special time of devotion where you not only talk to him, but you hear from him. And as I grow in this thing, let me tell you, I begin to listen to God more than I talk to him. Because that is truly when we are living the surrendered life. Because we not only listen, but we do exactly what he said. He leads us. He guides us. We listen continuously. Amen? Amen? Now, I have so many things to pack into this message today, but I'm going to try my best to get it into the 30 minutes, all right? So first thing now, time of prayer. We should really have a set time to dedicate to God to each day. That's apart from abiding in his presence, praying without ceasing. We have a set time where we read the word and, you know, but in that devotional time, and I like to do this early in the morning. And here are some scripture verses that will encourage you to do this early. Let me tell you, Jesus got up early. Mark 1:35. He got up early in the morning. While it was dark, Jesus got up, left the house, went away to a secluded place, and was praying there. Amen? I don't say you have to do it at that time, but it's good. Let me tell you, it sets the tone for your day. When you pray in the morning and you hear from the Lord, he will give you strategy for the day. The angels will be deployed. It's like there is clearance for your day. Is it so? Amen? And then not only that, you follow the leading of the Lord and you begin to make declarations. You command your day. You declare that you will be blessed in this day. We thank you, Lord, that we have favor. Lord God, we thank you that we have increase. And then God will guide you with where you should go, what you should do, what you should say. And you stay in his will. It's as if you're filled up before you go out to face each day. Amen? It's good to do this first thing in the morning. Psalm 5 verse 3 says, in the morning, O Lord, you will hear my voice. In the morning, I will order my prayer to you and eagerly watch. Psalm 119:147, I rise before dawn and cry for help. I wait for your words. Amen? We are so strengthened in the Lord when we do this thing first thing in the morning. We agree? Yes. Amen. Amen. After you pray, remember to make the declarations over your life, over your day, over your family, over where you go to work. Over your, Lord, we thank you for your protection even as I drive on this road today. Thank you for the special hedge of angels that surround my vehicle. Lord, I cover my children. It's good to pray first thing in the morning. Amen? Let me tell you. It sets the tone for the day. Jesus faced a storm while ministering one day. Mark 4, 35 to 41. And I'm not going to read all of this to you because, as I said, I have to get through. But, and the same day when the evening was come, he said unto them, let us pass over to the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there was with him other little ships. There arose a great storm, and the waves beat the ship, so it was now full. But he was in the part of the ship asleep on a pillow. Because Jesus knew what was coming for the day. So he already made the declaration in the beginning. He said, let us cross over to the other side. He spoke the Father's will, and he had no doubt that he was going to cross over to the other side. So he just rested in the storm. And so that's the place we need to be. We need to be so built up in God, ready, in readiness for the storms. And we have the assurance that we will cross over to the other side. Amen? Amen. And hear what he did. He arose, rebuked the wind, said unto the sea, peace, be still. And you see, he didn't wait until the storm came that he started to pray. He got up in the storm and he said, peace be still. Amen? He was ready. He was built up in God. And so it is, people. We must be in readiness. That when the challenges come, we are ready. And we speak the word of God to our challenges. Amen? And he said, down at verse 40, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? You see, the prayer time builds our faith. Amen? Faith cometh by hearing, hearing cometh by the word of God. It's good to spend time, quality time, in God's word and declaring the word of God over your life. Amen? You don't have a faith problem. You just need to spend more time in the presence of God, building up, filling up with the word. And I can tell you that those people who you see that are faithful, it's that they spend a lot of time knowing the word of God. Amen? All right, the model prayer now. Now we're getting into the meat of things. I'm just starting now, you know. 20 more minutes. All right. Our Father. Prayer is about relationship with our daddy. Through Jesus Christ, we are adopted sons and daughters. Hallowed be your name. Holy is your name. Holy is your name and most worthy of honor. Amen. So as we come before a holy God, we should sanctify ourselves first through confession and repentance. I do this thing where, Lord, I confess my sins, both known and unknown. Lord, I confess my sins in thought, in word, in deed. Amen? Because as you grow in Christ, you begin to know there are some standards that you don't necessarily know when you're a baby Christian. So it's good to say, I repent, Lord, of every sin in thought, both known and unknown. Amen. And Lord, show me your standard. But we're not going to know everything one time. We're going to know it gradually. Amen. Don't be impatient with yourself. But if you're taking baby steps, that's okay. Once you're moving forward in God, you're fine. Amen. This is the part that we really need to pay close attention to. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. we commit our prayer time to God's will being done. He needs one to agree with his will on this earth, and his will come forth. Amen? But there is also a dynamicity in, I don't know if that's the right word, dynamicity. Yeah. In agreement prayer. For the word says, where two agree as to touching anything, it is done. It's done. That's why I like to have prayer partners, you know. So, you know, one shall chase 1,000 to 10,000 to flight. Right? And so I have prayer partners that I just automatically know that when I'm agreeing with God's will in a situation, it will come forth. And it will not, we don't have to wait forever. We just pray in accordance to God's will. So right away, it's done. It's done. Amen? Amen. Thy will be done is the place of individual lives of surrender. You agree? Amen? It is a place of surrender. It is the place of the spirit-filled life. It is the place of the God-led life. Amen? I need you to help me pray, and I need to hear some amens. Amen? I need you to help me today, okay? Our lives become our Father's business and about others, not just me. For me, as I said, prayer is more about listening to God, being led of him. And when we submit to his leading, then he will unctionize our prayers and show us how to pray by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We can do nothing without God's leading, right? We can have no success without, it makes no sense. We get into the place and we just talk. We run out because of a religious ritual. No, we want to relate to God. We want to be all that he says. And you know, that's the place that we want to be. Amen? How do we know how to pray according to God's will? We have got to be able to listen to him carefully and to be able to discern his voice. Amen? John 10, my sheep know my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them to me, is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. The analogy of the sheep and the shepherd. In the time of Christ, shepherding was the creme de la creme job. It wasn't being a doctor and it wasn't being a lawyer. It was the shepherd. And actually, they counted people's wealth by counting the sheep that they owned. Amen? It is also it's a modern day guide for us in the church of servant leaders. Amen? We are called shepherds. The shepherd, let me tell you about this voice now, the hearing the voice. The shepherd would come to the sheepfold in the stocks, in the holding area each morning. And he would call the sheep. Excuse me. And amazingly, only the sheep that were connected to that particular shepherd would respond. You automatically know God's voice. But if you will choose to position yourself and listen to him with your heart. Amen? Have you ever seen a baby responding to his mother? No other voice will comfort that baby. Right? Maybe the daddy, but the mother. You understand? The mother's voice, that baby from the early stages knows the voice of calm, comfort, and quiet. Amen? It is the one who loves and takes care of them. That is how we grow to knowing the voice of God. The voice of the good shepherd. He loves us so much. He takes such good care of us like no one else can. Amen? God, you need to know these things now. God, your Father, wants to speak to you. He wants to speak to you. So we need to simply position ourselves to listening in faith. Don't doubt that he wants to talk to you, though we can't force him. Have the assurance that your Abba Father wants to relate with you and fellowship with you. Amen? Jeremiah 33:3 says, call to me and I will answer you and tell you, and I'm using the Amplified version, call to me and I'll answer you and tell you and even show you great and mighty things, things which have been confined and hidden, which you do not know and understand and cannot distinguish. Call to him and he will answer. Amen? The third thing. So the first two was, one, remember that your Father wants to speak to you. Number two, position yourselves in faith. Amen? Number three, humble yourselves before God. Number four, wait on him to speak. He will not usually speak in an audible voice. Get that clear, people? Not necessarily in your physical ears, even though sometimes he may, because God can do anything. Here are the main ways that he will speak to us. Number one, through our circumstances. Example, Jonah, in the fish's belly, he knew that he had done something to displease God. Amen? Number two, so, before I move on, what is God telling you through your circumstances? You need to ask that question carefully. Number two, he can speak through wise counsel. That is usually leaders. I thank God we have wise counsel in the Lightspring Church. We have a very wise pastor, Mike Phillips and Liz Phillips. I trust him to speak wisely to me. Eh? Number three, he can speak through other people. Number four, he can speak to us through dreams and visions. Number five, he can speak through our thoughts. And by the way, that's the main way that I hear from the Lord. Amen? And number six, through his word. Every time I pick up the Bible, I'm telling you, every day, I expect to hear from God. And I usually have some instruction or strategy to overcome in my situations. Amen? I may have a system of doing a devotional, like I'm going through the Bible, but invariably, I ask God, what do you want to say to me today? Then, Lord, speak to me, Lord. I pray before I read the word. Speak to me, Lord. I want to hear your voice. Yes, your voice makes the difference. It's the only voice I hear. There's a beautiful song, his voice, but I won't try and sing it. How do you know that you have heard from God? Number one, main thing is, does it line up to his word? All rhema word, that's word by revelation, must line up to the Logos word. Amen? Yes. Nothing new under the face of the sun. So if somebody comes to you and says, there's a new law or a new commandment or a new thing, if it doesn't line up to the word of God, it's not of God. Amen? The next thing is, do you have peace? And the third thing is, watch carefully how your circumstances begin to play out. Amen? Even at this stage, I've grown so much in God and I know his voice, but I still ask God for confirmation. Do you know why? I've seen so many people, men and women of God, convinced that they were hearing from God And yet at the end of that situation, they were operating in error. And so we need to listen, have peace, watch how the situations, the circumstances play out, and even ask God for confirmation if you're not sure. Amen? Romans 10:7. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I tell you, if you ever met a person of great faith, then you have certainly met a person of great hearing who knows how to listen to the voice and word of God. Amen? Give us this day our daily bread. I'm going to make it on time. We get so concerned about what the future holds. Let us get to a place of peace, trusting God. He is our Jehovah Jireh. Remember, when we read in the beginning, it says, our Father knows our need even before we ask Him. That's the place of trust. That's the place of rest. We don't have to strive because we know that God is working all things out for His glory and our good. Amen? He will provide all our needs. Just trust Him. Just trust Him. Now listen, I really wanted to end without this part, but I have to speak about forgive our trespasses as we forgive our trespassers. Let us read again verses 14 and 15. For if we forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. If you don't forgive, you won't be forgiven. Because we all need forgiveness. We all have fallen and come short. You see, I've counseled so many people, you know, and the thing is, I find that these people that hold on to grudges, hold on to offenses, don't even realize that they themselves have caused offenses too. And they have sinned. And so, to the merciful, God will show mercy. So we don't forgive sometimes because we want to. But really, it is a choice. It is a matter of making our will and our choices line up to what God says. Sometimes it's not easy, but we have to do it. We have to do it. I'm telling you, people, it's not about the other person. It's about freeing yourself. Amen? Our sins actually remain. They sit on us if we don't forgive. Because it's a spiritual principle that simply God will not forgive us. So our sin issues will not be dealt with because we cannot be reconciled with God. It stops the flow of love. It stops the flow. But it's such a subtle thing, you know. Because we may not mean the other person harm, but we are in the place of keeping the record. We kept it. We held on to it when our hearts need to be freed of that issue. And we kept it. And let me tell you what we did. We not only kept it, we went to some other people and we spoke about it. And before we know it, we have started this thing. And why? Because we didn't let go and forgive. Amen? Please. Invariably, we are very good moral people, and we don't mean to harm others. But if once we're keeping the record of wrongs, once we have labeled that person, then we have not forgiven. And even now, I'm telling you now, there are some things that I've walked through recently, and I'm even ministering to myself. Because the truth is, when you remember that thing, Does it hurt you all over again? Does it make you angry all over again? Then you have not forgiven. It's like a cut, and it begins to form the scab. And you know, every time now that you bounce the wound, it begins to ooze again, because the inner thing is there. And so, even in our close relationships, people, like any little thing that the person may do, because we have not been healed of that wound and we have not forgiven, then it begins to ooze again. And so we have to make a choice that our relationships must be based on love and forgiveness. No matter how bad it is, we are able to forgive by the power of the Holy Spirit. By the way, this thing of withdrawing, affection, you know, we get into this way of, we don't want to talk to the person anymore. It's a form of manipulation, let me tell you. It is, simply. You know, like those children, when you didn't let them have their way, they get into a pout. You know, sometimes you punish children, took them away, pout until they had their way. That's exactly what we're doing. We need to just grow up now, people. We need to just make it right. With some people, we need to just forgive. Continue in love. Work it out. Spirit of Christ is a spirit of reconciliation. You see, let me just tell you what happens. We have got to be able to see the other person the way God does. Too many times when we're offended, whenever I look at that person, all I can remember what they did to me. I remember that thing again and again and again, you know? But we've got to see the bigger picture. God sees them through the blood of Jesus, and especially Christians, we should not ever have to keep malice with each other. If we can't get it right in the house, then we can't minister to others. Right? So many people move out of God's will because they are offended. They have marriage separations, the children leave homes, people leave ministries. They were offended. And it was a simple, and if you tell them that they're offended, they're going to get really upset with you and be offended. You offend them again. Amen? If we're not working it out, people, we're not forgiving. Just talk about it, no? Just work it out, no? Yeah. Work it out. Work it out. We can. I figure that's the message today. Forgive. Forgive, forgive, forgive.